When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
A seven-time All-Star, and later this week, he'll be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Pretty awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Wagner. Billy, thanks for coming on.
And Bernie, it's always good to see you, man. It's been a while.
It's been a minute. I'll tell you, I still haven't gotten a hit off you. You know, it's a big, you know, the talk now, you know, and just when I go to the ballpark. People are talking, you know, the induction's coming up and, you know, who's going in this year? And it's Ichiro and it's Billy and the late Dave Parker. There's a few more going in, CC Sabathia, but they always say, Wagner, what was it like? What would you like, Booney? How'd you do against Wags? I said, you know what? I still haven't gotten a hit off him. And guys are looking it up. Guys on the Rangers looking it up. Yeah, you were 0 for 9. Punched you out 5. I said, the thing was, I saw it big. I couldn't hit it. I could see his heater, and I'd foul it off. And
Your brother didn't.
Did he do all right?
Oh my God! First two times they were facing me, took me deep.
Really?
And so, oh yeah. And so it was funny because you know Osmus is now his bench coach, right?
Right.
And so the third time I'm facing him, Cincinnati comes into town and. They bring up their talk. They go, okay, Aaron Boone. I'm like this. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy.
I want his brother.
and listen, Brett, he goes, and Osmus goes, listen, I'll take care of it. And I'm like, okay. Source could be. Aaron steps in, ninth inning. He's up there. And I mean, he's so excited. You could say, he's like, I'm going to take this guy shit deep again. I go up there, and all of a sudden, I throw a first pitch fastball right down the middle. He takes it. You know, I end up, like, striking him out. I don't even think he swung. Osmus is back there going, fastball. Here comes the fastball. He's throwing it right down the middle. And he couldn't believe it. And I think he struck you. And from that point on, I don't think Aaron got a hit because I think Osmus got into his head just going, he's telling me what he's going to throw. So it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, do I believe him or I don't believe him? The cat and mouse.
Anybody that knows Brad Osmus also knows that he's got that dry sense of humor that if you go out there, you know, he can hurt your feelings with words. He really can break bones with words.
Yeah. Eduardo Perez.
Yes.
I know you know that. How'd you do against him?
I don't know. I can't remember. We played together in Puerto Rico. I think we had good ABs. I don't know if we faced each other a lot. So, I mean, what does he say? Does he say?
Well, here's my Eduardo story. And I saw him the other day. He was in town and I talked to him about it. I told him I was having Billy on the show. And he said, Boone, remember what I told you? Because Eduardo and myself were teammates for like a second. Eduardo was a guy that came to the Reds and he was our first right-hander off the bench. So I remember we're sitting in Houston one time and you were getting ready. Here comes Billy Wagner and I'm sitting there going, shit. I still haven't got a hit off him. There was you and Rob Ned. Couldn't get a hit off Rob Ned. So I said, Eduardo comes. He goes, you want to hear something? I said, I'll take anything. He goes, well, what does he usually throw? I said, he usually throws me heaters. I said, he'll flip me a slider here and there. I said, but I see the heater good, Eduardo. I can't square it. It's getting to me now. He goes, here's what I do. He said, I took Billy deep one time. I said, what do you mean? What do you do? He goes, well, when you see the ball, he said, swing one ball above the ball. And I looked at him. I said, who says swing one ball above the ball? So I think that AB against you, I swung one ball above the ball and I missed the ball. So that didn't work either. So that's the early on. But yeah, it was, you were one of my nemesis and, I don't know. I don't really like to talk about it too much, even though I'm talking about it. Awesome. But what an awesome career you had. You know, seven-time All-Star. You finished with 422 saves. Rolaids man in 99. Astros Hall of Fame, obviously, but this is the big one. And I like to talk to the guys that are getting inducted. I got to go to one induction. I went for Trevor, and I got to see it. And still to this day, I was still overwhelmed because you watch it on TV all those years and you think, oh, there's a decent crowd gathering for the player. And you get there and it's a different animal as far as it's, you know, I call it Woodstock. It looks like Woodstock. The friends and family are in front of the ropes, you know, watching the inductees. And then you look back and it just – crowds go on for days. Have you been to a ceremony or will this be your first one?
This will be my first one. Wow. I've watched them. It was funny because I'm just the type of person that I'll sit there and watch these things, but I didn't want to go there and I'm not a big crowd guy as far as like going and doing, sitting and, you know, going to a big league ball game, I can sit and watch it on TV and drink my own beer and yell at people.
Right.
And I don't have to be politically correct. I can sit there. So I'm usually not a big crowd guy. And so I haven't been there, but just going to Cooperstown to when they first introduced us, it is overwhelming. That was overwhelming. Walking in the museum was overwhelming to look at yourself and go, wait a minute, I mean, the names are unbelievable. And I mean, the names upon names of greats that you've admired or looked up and things like that. And even the guys that we played with, Bunny, I mean, playing with the unit, Chipper, playing with Pedro, Glavin, all these guys that you played with and stuff, you know, having them and thinking of yourself as comparable to those guys, it's still hard for me to think about that because, you know, this is like, and I'm sure it is for everybody, like the cherry on top. That is the ultimate cherry on the top for an athlete to be in this small group.
Have you finished your speech?
I have, but I'm sure. I think there's always tinkering. I mean, I think I've got 2 days. I go up tomorrow, and so I have the 24th and 25th. I think I do some tinkering on it, but it just seems like there's always something. Don't leave this person out. Oh, I just thought about this. Don't do that. And you know, I think my biggest fear is leaving, you know, people out. I mean, yeah. I wake up at night going write down in the notes like, oh, this guy in this memory and just trying to tie it in so that it's not like, you know, speed bumps through the whole thing. Cause you know, I'm pretty emotional as it is as a person. And so trying to find spots where it'll be emotional and won't be forever and have that little suck them back moment for 10 seconds and then move on, that kind of thing. So the whole speech has been trying to pattern it so that it's just not a big sob fest the whole way.
The whole process for you, you got in on the 10th ballot. Where did you go emotionally, like your mind every year? Did you go to a point where it's like, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about it. The vote's coming up. You know, I know I'm this and, you know, you read all the articles, always trending this way. He's trending that way. Did you get to a point where you thought, oh, I don't know if it's going to happen for me or that 10th time you'd been through it so many times? Was it a big event anymore? Like, whatever, if it happens, it happens.
Well, early, you know, I think the first couple times when I didn't get many votes, but I was just enough to stay on the ballot, you know, it was like, you know, I thought it'd be better. And then, you know, like, I think the fourth to the eighth was like, whatever, you know, even though I was starting to trend well, I, you know, and people were being supportive, I was like, you know, whatever, I didn't put much stock. And then I think the ninth time when I came up five votes short, that's when it became a little bit more surreal, like, hey, this could happen. And, you know, the kiss of death is, you know, nobody's ever had that many votes and not got in. And you're like, oh, God, could I be that guy? And so that was the apprehension going into it. It's like, I don't want to be that guy that, you know, oh, you got 74.9%. Sorry. And then, you know, and then just – the expectation of you could be in and how do you handle having no real knowledge of the whole process of like what goes on from here and the expectations. But I mean, that night I was probably 20 Tito's and Red Bulls in. I mean, it was a wreck. I mean, I was just emotionally just draining. And as soon as they, you know, when they called it like 6:05, you know, everything just kind of fell on the floor. It was just that buildup. And after that happened, it was a load off my shoulders, and I think since then, finding out that, you're the first from Southwest Virginia, you know, the second Virginian to ever be in the Hall of Fame, or the first Division III ever to get to the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, you start to really have a lot of things come out, and so you have an impact on a lot of people. And I think that's the thing that really stands out, is the impact and role that I played with a lot of people in Southwest Virginia, and being a small statured person and having the ability to get that far, that now it is possible. It has been a roller coaster. I think the ride up tomorrow will be that smile and grin and happy drive that I've been expecting, because I've been doing the travel ball tour for the last three.
You're in the middle of that. Yeah. Pick the parents, Billy. Pick the parents, best parents. Well, that's usually what makes
it for
teams.
15 years. I've done it for 15 years. And so it's God's curse to baseball. And so I think getting through that, now I can take a deep breath and enjoy that ride up.
I know this is probably a tough question, because you think about your journey through life, and there's so many people, I just think in my own life, but if you had to pick a handful of mentors that got Billy Wagner where he is now, to and at the pinnacle of what you did for a living for so many years, who are some of the men or the women along the way that were instrumental in that?
Well, everybody has their wife, because I don't think we get through this. I mean, me and my wife have been married 30 years, and so she's thrown every pitch when I was in college and going through the minor leagues, and her sacrifice to watch me play has been remarkable. I mean, I am not the easiest person to live with, and so her ability to really compromise has been a big asset for me. But on the field, it's probably guys that – are not your name brands. It's the Mike Magnanti. It's the Gary Lucas pitching coach in A-ball. The guys that had a little bit more feel for who you were. Baggy was one of my closer teammates because of just how he would his expectations, and he taught me what expectations were in the big leagues. I think a lot of times when I came in, people were like a little more hands off because I was good. I just didn't know how good. I didn't know what could happen. And Baggy is one of those, like, these are the things you got to be able to do. You have a bad day, you need to know how to handle it. You need to know how to go more than one day. If you want to be a big dog, this is what big dogs do. And then, your Russ Springers, your Jay Powells, guys like that. Moises Alou was a huge teammate for me. And I just think, the conversations with guys like, Pedro Martinez and, the Tom Glavins, I mean, it couldn't be the different ends of the spectrum to play on a team with two Hall of Famers and hear both conversations. But I think conversations of like, this is what I do. I believe in who I am and what I bring, and just their confidence and how they believed in their self was something that helped me to trust who I was going to be, win or lose, good or bad. This is who I needed to be and stay true to who I was going to be. And, those guys, as a bullpen committee, you're in that small pen, and everybody's got to be, in a positive movement, or you got to know how to talk to each other. And I think the bullpen guys for me, in lots of ways, were inspirational, and your bullpen catchers and guys that you could just confide in helped me get to that confidence point, because, I probably puked every game I got in. My anxieties were a wreck, and I would probably throw up. And so, it was funny when I come out and I get ready to get on the mound, and everybody go, you seem so intense. And it was because I was so angry at – being, you know, have that fear of failure that I'm in the bathroom yakking my brains out and I'm coming in on the mound and, you know, it's hair on fire and here we go. And it was a lot of how I handled that. But the Brad Lidges and guys like that were the ones that's like, hey, you got this, you're good. Yeah. And it takes that even to the best. Now, I don't know if Mo or Trevor or Lee Smith and those guys ever had guys that were, you know, when they came out, they looked like it very easy and like they never got worried about anything. And so, you know, when I hear about how successful they were and compare, I'm sitting here going, man, I'm out there jacking my brains out, worried to death. And, you know, I got a fresh 23-year-old kid, Craig Kimbrell's out there, and he thinks, this is what I've done all my life. And I'm like, holy gosh, it must be nice. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that's been very helpful on this role.